We will now move back to Senate Bill 141. Mr. Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll again hand around a bill brief on this, going through section by section, and again have some extra copies if any member of the audience wants to review it. This bill is really designed to authorize a what I guess I would call a modern solution to the age-old problem of investing the funds of a trust. You have traditionally the income beneficiary who wants those funds to be invested in something that would maximize current income. You have the remainder beneficiaries, generally speaking, wanting to maximize future growth of those assets, and those are antagonistic goals in general. And what the total return trust concept does is aligns the interests of both the remainder beneficiary and the income beneficiary in desiring to grow the total value of the trust corpus. And so instead of calculating what is income and what is return to principal and so forth, what the income beneficiary receives is a fixed percentage of the total value of the trust, which is then valued on an annual basis. So just to do the math simply, if I had a trust that was valued at $100,000 at the start of the year and my payout percentage had been established at 5%, I would receive an income distribution of $5,000 regardless of if it had been invested in the broad stock market, for example, in 1999 or in 2000 or 2001, which were negative years by and large. Similarly, if it had been invested back in 98 or 99 when we had roughly 30% appreciations in value, I would have that 5%, and then at the beginning of each year the value is redone, and so whether it grew from 100 to 110 or for it dropped, my 5% would be done against the new year's value. And that's really what the total return concept does. Again, it tries to align the interests of both the income and remainder beneficiaries toward the best long-term growth of the trust corpus. Again, just very quickly highlighting the important sections, I think, of this bill. Section 1 is the definitional. Section 2 indicates that a disinterested trustee, one that is not a beneficiary, either income or remainder, has the right to convert a trust into a unit trust, provided they give notice to all the beneficiaries and none of those beneficiaries objects. So really, Section 2 allows the conversion when everybody is in agreement. Section 3 allows the same thing to occur when the beneficiary is interested. Again, someone who is an income beneficiary, also happens to be the trustee, can make this conversion, but only if they appoint an independent fiduciary to assist the trustee in determining that unit trust amount. And again, you have to go through the notice to all the beneficiaries and no one has to object. So both sections 2 and 3 allow this to occur only in the context of all the beneficiaries agreeing to it. Section 4 allows you to do this by court action if there was a split among the beneficiaries. Section 6 sets forth the process for how the unit trust amount is determined. The minimum payout is 3% or a higher amount as may be specified in a trust agreement or the determination of the trustee or the court, and that is typically done on a three-year average. Sections 7 provides that the unit trust amount can't be less than the net income where it qualifies for marital deduction or generation, qualifies for marital deduction or where generation skipping is not applicable. 8, 9, and 10, again, are procedural rules to assist the trustee in making the distributions. I think Section 11 is a particularly important provision, which allows a surviving spouse to convert, to compel the reconversion of a trust from the total return concept back to a traditional income trust if it was intended as a marital deduction trust. So this is a special power given to the surviving spouse, in essence, to override the prior decision of the entire beneficiary class. And sections 12 through 15, I think, are pretty standard sections relating to aligning this with the Internal Revenue Code, 13 and 14, allowing liability protection to trustees acting in good faith, and Section 15, an effective date provision. And I would be glad to answer questions. I think this is probably the most, you know, the first bill, Section 140, was really just a series of relatively small changes. I think this is probably the most important idea or concept that our group brings before the legislature this year.
Other questions of Mr. Knutson, Senator Dugard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the definitions, what is the, and I should know this probably, but what is on page 1, lines 12, or line 13, section 2001 or 2501? What kinds of trusts are those?
I believe 2501 is in the estate tax area, and I don't know if Jeremiah, if you're familiar with those, and I cannot answer that question off the top of my head, Senator.
One other question.
Further question.
On page 5, subpart 2 of section 6, I can see the way I read that is there is no limitation to the most recent three-year average, that you just go back and average forever, unless I'm reading that wrong. I can't see where you just average the three most recent years or the four most recent years. I think you just average every year the way it's written, unless I'm mistaken. Maybe I need to be corrected.
Ken, it is my understanding right. I don't think that that it is re-averaged. I think it is just goes against the average fair market value of the assets in the trust.
So I guess what I'm saying is, let's say we convert in 2003. Then in the year 2010.
Yes.
What fair market values do you average? By my reading, you go back to 2004, 2005, 2006, and average as far back as the date you converted. That's the way I read this. And if that's your intent, that's fine. But your explanation leads me to think you want to just go back to a three-year average or a four-year average. I don't think it says that, if that's your intention.
Yeah, and actually, I'm wondering if in line 17, Senator, instead of on page 5, instead of the word each at the end of that line, I wonder if that shouldn't be the prior year average, so that once you're in the past those first 3 years, that you have an average of just the current the last 2 years,
current plus the last two.
Yes.
So then maybe you want
to
say
2 years. Yeah.
The first business day of each of the two preceding prior valuation years.
Two preceding valuation years, probably so.
The two preceding valuation years. Would you agree that?
I think that's correct. Again, I didn't bring the the work with me that produced these bills, and I think that's probably correct, though, Senator.
Would you like to move an amendment accordingly?
I'd move then that on line 18,
page,
on, excuse me, on page 5, line 18, strike the word prior and insert of the two preceding, and then after the word year, insert the letter S so it becomes years. So then it would read, line 18 would read, of the two preceding valuation years.
Is there a second to that? Is there seconded by Moore? Discussion. Do you have any further comment on that, Mr. Knutson?
No, I think that would be consistent with...
All those in favor of the amendment as stated, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? That amendment is adopted. Are there any further questions of Mr. Knutson on the bill as amended? Senator Moore.
Dave, just a point of clarity. In Section 2, now, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought you told me that a trustee may, without... the court approval, convert trust funds if all are in agreement. But as I read it, only a simple majority needs to be in agreement. Is that right?
I think if you look on subdivision 4 at the bottom of page 3.
Okay, that was my next question.
No person objects to the proposed action.
So if one person objects to the action, then there cannot be a change in the trust. Is
then,
that correct?
Then they would go to Section 4, which would allow for a court to take take this action, so that if I couldn't get unanimity, I still would have, you know, let's say that 9 out of 10, I still can go into court, present it to the court, and have the court make that determination over that single objection.
Any further questions of Mr. Knutson? If not, thank you very much. Mr. Knutson, are there any further proponents of Senate Bill 141? Again, for purposes of the public, that's an act to authorize total return unit trusts.
Mr. Chairman, once again, Bob Sutton with the South Dakota Bankers Association. I'll be very brief. We sent this whole package of bills, and I will not get up on the third one to let you know we support them. But I will tell you that this is an ever-changing environment. South Dakota is viewed nationally by the folks like Dave and by bank trust officers as a very, very good place to do trust business, and more importantly for people who are setting those trusts up. This is a step forward. It's something the industry certainly supports, and we hope you would have favorable consideration today. Thank you.
Any questions? If not, thank you very much. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 141? Further proponents? If not, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 141? Any opponents? There being none, we'll close to testimony, open to committee motion and discussion. Do I have a motion? The move to pass. Is there a second? Seconded by Moore. Any discussion of the motion? That will proceed to vote. Secretary, call roll.
Aye.
Aye. Senate Bill 141 goes out as amended. Goes out with a due pass recommendation. Move consent. Is there a second? Seconded. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Senate Bill 141 goes out on the consent calendar. We'll move